There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I'm 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the D-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon, this is Don't Tread on America. Your host, Don Q. Let's go. Come on. All right, guys. It's a perfect song for tonight's show. With everything that's going on here, today is Saturday, April 13, 2024. And you might ask, Don, why are you doing a show on Saturday? Well, it's because the wife's off tomorrow, Sunday. Normally I record on Sunday, and the wife is off. She doesn't get many Sundays off, so Lord knows I'm going to have to commit the whole day to her, minus my gym in the morning. But after that, the rest of the day is hers. And I knew if I did not do a show today, you would not get a show until Tuesday. And in lieu of everything that's going on this evening, perfect timing to bring you a show. Because, boy, if you are a normal person that enjoys their weekend off, if you know, assuming you have weekends off, you might not know what the hell's going on. So, please, that's why it's very important that whatever podcast app you're listening to the show on, you follow the show, you subscribe to the show, whatever the button is. The reason being is because of this moment right here. I'm going to bring you a bunch of stuff tonight that you need to hear ASAP, because it's very, very important. Everything I'm going to talk about here tonight is extremely important. So it's hard for me to tell you this before you listen to it, but I'm telling you right now, when you listen to this, you're going to understand that what I'm telling you is very important. Therefore, in the future, you need to make sure you're following this show, because I've said this before. You know, I'm really serious today, and I'm trying to get through the show. But I'm telling you, look, I'm just like you guys. I work a full-time job. I do this podcast. I get it. My tagline, full-time job with a part-time podcast and all that stuff. But I also know that sometimes I don't knock it out of the park on the shows. You work a 40, 50, whatever you work a week, you're tired. Now imagine doing that and then trying to come up with content for a show. You're going to have lackluster shows. Now, with that being said, I have a lot of shit to talk about, and this is going to be a good show. So please make sure you are following the show for future reference, and then share this show with your friends. Guys, also make sure you follow us on social media at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. And then on the Twitter X machine at DTom_1775. And also, our website is DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And you can email me directly, DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. Guys, please, if you want to help the show out financially, you can go to our sponsors. The links are on the bottom of the podcast app and what you're listening to this on. The DTOM show, I'm sorry, DTOM store. The link, click it. There's all sorts of stuff on there. I'm actually coming up with some new t-shirts that I'm going to work on, hopefully this weekend while I'm off. Obviously not Saturday. Well, it's Saturday night right now. It's almost 9 o'clock as I'm recording this, but, or Sunday, but I'm off Mondays. I'm off Sunday, Monday. So I'll work on it on Monday anyway. And, like I said, the proceeds from that will go to Tunnels the Tower. So please, if you can start helping me with that, we will help those folks also. And don't forget about Reaper Apparel Company. They are at ReaperApparelCo.com. Use promo code DTOM to get 10% off. All those links are on the podcast app. All you got to do is scroll down, click the link, boom, you're there. And don't forget to follow us on Rumble at Don't Tread on America TV. Now, let's get into the business. Woo, here we go. This is the lead in to the big news. Do you guys remember during Trump's presidency and leading as we led into his presidency when he was going against Hillary and then all during his presidency, do you recall these types of things happening on a daily basis?
Because Donald Trump took the worst possible option given to him in a slideshow.
In this country, we have begun to overestimate the dangers of impeachment and underestimate the dangers of a deranged president retaining control over a nuclear hyperpower.
We cannot wait around while Donald Trump is in control of the nuclear weapon.
Your objection to potentially going into World War III cannot be procedural.
The biggest danger of the Trump presidency is that we are always just a Trump whim away from nuclear war.
They say it's World War III, but I'm looking out my window. It's very quiet in those smoking craters out there.
Has to be told that it's his job to avoid World War III.
One Democratic congressman sent me a note this evening and say this president wants this war.
A future administration needs to find a way to put an end to the forever wars.
We're in new normal, and the new normal is forever war.
But there's a big difference between ending the forever wars, which he wants to do responsibly, and what seems to be President Trump's rather itchy Twitter finger.
The objective needs to be to end the forever wars.
If Congress does not want to go to war, now is the time to start putting restraints on this president. And again, they've been giving him green lights all the way.
Maybe it's because we're going to take on the military-industrial complex and end endless wars.
Every American needs to wake up to the shenanigans of the military-industrial complex and how much hundreds of billions of dollars are spent only because of short-term profit maximization for military defense contractors as opposed to America's legitimate security needs.
It's long past time we end the forever wars.
So that goes on for a little bit longer. It basically is saying the same thing, how Trump was going to start World War III with whomever it was, North Korea, Russia, Iran, whoever. And then as we led into Biden and Trump, it was the ending the forever wars, which during the whole time, well, let me play. This is real quick. This is from Joe Biden when they were going at it.
The world has changed because of what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right.
Well, unfortunately, you were not right, because during the course of Trump's presidency, with the exception of the taking out of Soleimani, who was a major general in the Islamic Revolutionary Guard in Iran, which was the taking out or the killing, the assassination, whatever you want to call it, of Soleimani, was in retaliation for Iranian attack on American embassy in Iraq. But other than that, we saw no wars while he was president. Since dipshit has been in office, we have an ongoing war in Ukraine with Russia. We have a war situation, I guess, in Israel with Hamas, which seems to be, and this is just my opinion, the softening up for what just happened a few hours ago, which is what we're going to talk about today. And this is breaking news. This just happened a few hours ago in Israel. Iran launches drones towards Israel. So tonight, Iran just a few hours ago, launched drones towards Israel in a retaliatory attack, the Israel military said. In a statement, IDF said that Iran launched unmanned aerial vehicles from within its territory in Israel. The IDF is on high alert and is constantly monitoring the operational situation. The statement read, the IDF aerial defense array is on high alert, along with IAF fighter jets and Israel Navy vessels that are on defense mission in Israel airspace. The IDF is monitoring all targets. Israeli officials told CBS News it could be many hours before the drones reach Israeli airspace. Blah, 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 airspace. Alerts started sounding across Israel close to 2 a.m. local time. Excuse me. The IDF said alarms went off in southern Israel by the Dead Sea in Jerusalem and Shomron area. U.S. forces in the region have also shot down some Iranian-launched drones, two U.S. officials told CBS News. Iran has begun an airborne attack against Israel, National Security Council spokesperson Adrian Watson said in a statement. Iran's attack comes in retaliation for an April 1 Israel attack on Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, which killed several members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. President Biden had returned to the White House on Saturday in preparation for an imminent attack. President Biden has been regularly updated with the situation in his national security team and will meet with them this afternoon in the White House. The statement went on, his team is in constant communication with Israeli officials as well as other partners and allies. The attack is likely to unfold over a number of hours. President Biden has been clear, our support for Israel's security is ironclad. The United States will stand with the people of Israel and support their defense against threats of or from Iran. Okay, so I'm not going to keep on reading on. You get the gist. So Iran has launched, I think I read, upwards of 70-some-odd drones, shot missiles. Now, with the help of the U.S. military and the Iron Dome, they pretty much averted the attack. I think there was a few strikes, but in the meantime, I don't know if I have that. Come on, where are you at? No, I don't have it. If I recall, Jordan, Syria, Israel, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia have closed their airspace to commercial air traffic. So, I guess the proverbial shit is about to hit the fan. Now, here's the thing that I was pondering when I was getting this show together. They knew this was going to happen. And when it happened, they were able to avert it for the most part. Which leads me to believe the whole October 7th thing. And I said this way back when, that the Israeli military, as much as we believe as Americans that our military is top notch, and I'm not denying that that is the case, Israelis military is equally as top notch. We train them, they train us, we work together. We're like hand in glove. Okay. So when all that stuff happened on October 7th, I said there's no way that that happened without the IDF, the Israeli government, Mossad, or all the above didn't know it was happening or about to happen. That there was such a lackluster reaction to Hamas invading, essentially, Israel. And I said on a show I did back then, whatever date that was, it was around the 7th, that I personally believe that the Israeli government allowed that to happen so they could do what they were doing, what they've been doing for the past 6 months. Now, it's almost like we can agree that a lot of this started essentially shortly before October 7th, I think about 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, Biden administration released like $10 billion to Iran, here's your money back. It's your money. You guys do it, whatever. And then a few weeks later, the Hamas situation in Israel happens. Now, more than likely, Iran financed that whole situation. Now, granted, that was something that doesn't just happen like this. So the fact that the U.S. released that money to Iran didn't necessarily greenlight it. Did greenlight it, but it's not like it necessarily paid for it. It gave the backing of more monetary support. But I think it was the situation where Iran says, look, you guys go in and do this, soften them up a little bit, and then we're going to attack, which is what's going on now. Now, will there be, you know damn well, the way Israel is, they are going to strike back. Even though realistically, you could make the argument, like I just read in that story, that Israel kind of started it by bombing their embassy in Damascus. So, essentially, it's okay if Israel starts the fight, but when Hamas starts the fight, you know, we can't have that. And I'm not going to sit here and make the argument that what Hamas did was right, what Israel's doing is right. I'm not making that argument. Look, that's not our, it's not my problem. It's not our problem. It's not America's problem. Okay? We want to make believe that it's our problem, and we're going to try to convince the American people that it's our problem, and that we need to throw all this money over to Israel. Not that we don't have our own fucking problems here, but let's make inflation a little worse by financing yet another fucking war. And in the meantime, what does it mean? What does it mean for us here at this, right here in America? America. I mean, don't tread on America, right? We're in America. So could we be next? Is our attack already underway? Now, this was on, I think this was Thursday. Bob Ray, whatever his name is, he sat in Senate talking about whatever, and this has a lot to do with the next story we're going to lead into, so it's kind of cool how I put all this together. It kind of leads into one another, so you're welcome. But anyway, this was him addressing the Senate on funding for the FBI and the reasons that the Section 702 of the FISA situation needed to pass. But this particular, I'm going to play this segment here. There's actually two segments we're going to play from his speech. I don't want to play the whole thing, because it's like 8 minutes long. So I'm just going to play these two segments, and I'm going to tell you why I'm playing these two segments. Here's segment one.
We've seen a spate of ransomware and other cyber attacks impacting parts of our critical infrastructure and businesses, both large and small. Violent crime, which reached alarming levels coming out of the pandemic, remains far too high and is impacting far too many communities. China continues its relentless effort to steal our intellectual property and most valuable information. And that is just scratching the surface.
So the reason I played that part was the ransomware and the cyber attacks. The Francis Scott Key Bridge situation, where the boat hit the pylon, destroyed the bridge, killing, I think it was six people. Fortunately, it was only six people, but one person is too many. But I had said back when this happened a few weeks ago that possibly this was a cyber attack. Now, he didn't admit as much that situation was a cyber attack, but he did mention that we had a recent cyber attack. Have you heard on mainstream media anything about anything in particular being a cyber attack in this country? No, you haven't. It's not like any news, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, whoever you listen to. No one in the mainstream media has come out and said that there was a cyber attack on such and such. Now, I don't listen to 500 podcasts. I listen to a couple. I don't listen to me because I'm here doing the show, but I know what I said. I did make reference to the fact that maybe there's a good possibility that this whole ship hitting the pylon in Baltimore and destroying that bridge very well could have been a cyber attack. I've heard podcasts say that's impossible. There's no way that happened. But then you have this. When he says this, could he be referring? He didn't specify, and I'm just putting words into his mouth. I get that. But could he have been referring to this without really saying as much? I don't know. But come on, computer, let's fucking go. God damn it. Today, unless you happen to live in the area, if you know, in the Pittsburgh or surrounding areas, you probably haven't even heard this because it's not on the news. But official rush to shut down McKees Rock Bridge after 23 barges break free in Pittsburgh, weeks after a disaster took out the Key Bridge in Baltimore. Authorities have been forced to lock down McKees Rock Bridge after 23 barges reportedly broke free from a tugboat on the Ohio River. The McKees Rock Police Department said just after midnight they would be closing the bridge as a precaution. According to the department, there are currently a number of barges that have broken loose heading down the Ohio River. One local police scanner page said that there were estimated 23 barges along the river. In one statement, police said a number of barges broke loose headed down the Ohio River. Now, I don't know that this, I don't know what they mean by broke loose. Did someone cut the ropes? Was the barge towing them or pushing them and something happened that they broke loose? I don't know. But, you know, last year it was trains. Towards the end of last year it was planes. And now we're on to ships. What's going on? I mean, I'm not... It could be coincidental. Now, when the train situation happened last year, when it happened in East Palestine, Palestine, whatever, it was headline news, and we talked about it, But then I was like, look... I mean, not to brush off the situation, but there's train accidents all the time. Unfortunately, they happen all the time. There's plane situations all the time. I don't know that there's ship situations all the time. I don't. You would think in this country where major ports are and ships come in and out, you don't hear of ships, barges, or whatever taking out major bridges. That would be news every time that happened. Train crashes, not so much. Plane situations, not so much. But these things are happening more often, and they're dominating the news cycle. So it's either it's a cyber attack, like he said, or these happen all the time. We just never hear about them. And this is a way to keep us scared for some reason. But the FBI did come out and say on Friday that within the next 2 days, there very well could be some sort of attack in this country. Now, generally speaking, the FBI or the intelligence community doesn't give a timeline when it comes to a terror threat. They might say, we have word that soon or in the upcoming months, something might happen somewhere, you know, and that generally cycles around major events, major sporting events or whatever. There's really nothing going on this weekend. It's not a holiday weekend. There's no, you know, major baseball. I mean, there's baseball and whatever, but I mean, there's nothing major going on. And then for this to say this now, mind you, nothing is Saturday night. Nothing has happened in this country as of yet. Or could these barges be some sort of indication? I don't know. It's kind of a weak terrorist thing. Like, I would think there would be something more major. But then this is the other part of what Christopher Wray had to say on Thursday to the Senate.
I touched on this earlier, but there was already a heightened risk of violence in the United States before October 7th. Since then, we've seen a rogues gallery of foreign terrorist organizations call for attacks against Americans and our allies. And given those calls for action, our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home. But now, increasingly concerning, is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia Concert Hall just a couple weeks ago. We also need funding to counter the threat from the People's Republic of China, a government sparing no expense in its quest to hack, lie, cheat, and steal its way to the top as a global superpower and to undermine our democracy and our economic success. We need funding to counter.
Okay. So he's talking about border crossings. He's talking about these individuals coming from China and from the Middle East and from wherever else, gangs in Venezuela and Chile. They know this is that these individuals are here. They know they're coalescing. They know that something is going to happen. They obviously listen to the DTOM show because I've been saying this. So, number one, my question is this. Christopher Ray, why in the hell aren't you talking to the president, and why aren't we doing something about it and at the border? Oh, it's not my job. That's Homeland Security. Fuck that shit. I don't care whose job it is. If you're the FBI and you're the Federal Bureau of Investigation, as you're investigating the problems and saying this is the problems, you should be directing that attention towards the proper authorities or the proper channels or whatever the word is you want to use there to stop these motherfuckers from coming into our country, because something bad is about to fucking happen. Your words. I've been saying this, but when you say it and you give a timeline, now we've got a problem, because you obviously know a hell of a lot more than I do. My speculations are as that, speculations. I would assume your information is based on facts and truths. And for you to come out and say these things towards a Democratic president, now mind you, I know Trump put him in office, I get that. But the fact that Trump put you in office and Biden kept you in office tells me everything I need to know about you. With that being said, you said what you said about the border and the people crossing it, but yet here we are. Nothing's being done. You made reference to prior to October 7th, there was things building up, but since then it's been worse. And we don't hear a lot about it other than the illegal migrants or whatever doing harm to American citizens, whatever that harm is, whether they're beating people, killing people, you know, Lake and Riley, you know, so on and so forth. And we talked about plenty of Chinese illegals crossing the border, hundreds of thousands, that if China is out to get us, if they want to do something infrastructurally, if that's a word, well, fuck, they got a nice little army building on top of these other countries that hate us, that are sending their people over here. What in the hell do you think is going to happen? And I'm not talking to him, Christopher Ray, because I know he knows. The sad thing is I know that all of those people know, but they're not doing a fucking thing about it. It's like I said before, I honestly believe they kind of want something to happen. It's almost like a Zelensky type tactic, that if we can get into war, whether it's domestically or foreignly or bothly, that we can hold elections. Now, you might could say that Biden's, 172 years old. Why would he want to continue to be president? Well, I don't think it has anything to do about Biden. It really doesn't. I honestly, in my heart, believe, and we talked about this when we first started doing the show. We started doing the show when he went through inauguration, right? And Chris, when he was on the show, gave a timeline, said, I really don't see him lasting. Well, obviously, unfortunately, he's lasted. I'm here to tell you that assuming he were to get reelected, there's no way in hell he's making it 4 years. I would even be willing to bet that assuming he gets reelected somehow or another, that he steps down after he's re-inaugurated or re-inauguration. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Now, I hope I'm wrong and he doesn't win, because God only knows what will happen then. Now, where do I want to go next? Okay, let me go to my page here. See what I got wrote down here. So I write this, and now we, the American people, are under attack from our own government. So not only do we have to worry about a foreign threat, whether it be Chinese, Venezuelan, Middle Eastern, from the Congo or Ghana or wherever in the hell they're coming from in Africa, we have to worry about being attacked from our own government. And no, I'm not talking about an attack on our First or Second Amendment rights. I'm referring to the Fourth Amendment. Because the whole time I've been doing this show and the whole time I've been listening to podcasts, those are the two main amendments that everyone refers to. When they say, Biden's coming after your guns, or Biden's coming after your free speech, or the Senate's coming after you, or someone's doing this, or someone's doing that. And it's always First Amendment, Second Amendment, Second Amendment, First Amendment. Without the first, you ain't got the second. Without the second, you ain't got the first, right? But in the meantime, they're sneaking right past that Fourth Amendment, and no one's even batting an eye, because I think for the most part, we're being lied to, number one, into a belief that this has nothing to do with you, the American citizen. It's about foreign people. It's about foreign entities. And like I told you on the show the other day, the FISA law, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, I think is what it's called. Yeah, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It passed in 1978. This isn't new, okay? What's that, 45 years old, 40 whatever, 6 years old. But it didn't really become something that we talked about until after September 11th, because that's when the Bush administration added a lot of shit to it. And they expanded intelligence gathering activities, including both domestic and foreign surveillance and wiretapping, mostly without going through the FISA process. After those activities came under public scrutiny in 2008, Congress passed FISA's Section 702 in order to codify the Bush administration activities and provide congressional and judicial oversight. It was reauthorized in 2012 and then again in 2018. So, real quick, before I read on, 2012, Obama, 2018, Trump. Now, Trump. I don't think it even goes to the president's desk. This is a Congress and a Senate thing. But I think in 2018, I don't know when in 2018 it passed, but we had at one point control of the Congress and the Senate during Trump's presidency. I think this might have fallen under that realm. So when I tell you that it doesn't matter if it's an R or a D, a lot of those individuals are against you and me. Ooh, that rhymed. So now Section 702 is back in the news as Congress weighs its reauthorization, with a statute set to expire on December 31st, 23, Congress was unable to pass a longer-term reauthorization, instead passing short-term. It's now set to expire April 19th on 2024. So what powers does 702 grant? Section 702 can be found in 50 U.S.C., blah, blah, blah. If you're inclined, I'm not going to read all that. The statute specifically prohibits targeted collection, whether directly or indirectly, of communication to anyone known to be located inside the United States or any of the U.S. citizens, even that citizen is located outside the United States. The government is also prohibited from targeting foreign persons abroad for the purpose of learning about an American. 702 allows intelligence gathering on non-U.S. citizens, blah, 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 blah. We talked about this the other day. But it's not just this. It's not just this particular thing. And the whole point of this and what the media is not telling you, because I honestly believe most of these motherfuckers don't know what they're talking about, and they're just getting the broad brush. They're reading what I'm reading to you right now, and they're like, okay, well, I don't really see what the big deal is if we're spying or gathering intelligence or surveillance or whatever on a foreign entity. As long as it's not infringing on an American without a warrant, then who cares? It's for our own protection. And then you get the class of people that say, well, you know, this happened during the Patriot Act. If you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't care. That's not the point. The point is they're chipping away at the Fourth Amendment, and you guys are allowing it because of everything that's going around us with the possible terrorist situations that could happen or probably will happen in this country, on top of whatever's going on in Ukraine and Israel and Iran and wherever in the hell else. I'm not saying they're faking these wars to scare you. I'm saying that they're using these situations to scare you into agreeing that, hey, this sounds like a great idea. I totally agree. We need to surveil foreign entities because if you're an American and you're a patriot and you're red-blooded and you're this and you're that and you have nothing to hide, you should have no reason for them to not want to do this. Okay. You go ahead and let this happen, and then as they keep chipping away, they're going to chip away at all of them. This is Bob Johnson. No, this is Thomas, I think Thomas Massey, on the 10th, and this is how he feels about it. He was one of the individuals that voted against this.
I thank my colleague from Texas. Today, we're voting on a resolution that will bring forward reauthorization of a program that's been abused for decades, the FISA 702 surveillance program. Before we vote on that program, though, this resolution that we're voting on now prescribes that we will bring forward an amendment to require warrants. If you want to spy on Americans, if you want to use this database as a backdoor to look at the privacy, the private information of Americans, you would need a warrant if this amendment passes. Now, there's some people who say, oh, getting a warrant is too hard. It'll slow us down. You'll put America in danger. Listen, I've been in the SCIF, the classified area, where they're supposed to tell us the problems with requiring a warrant, and they never have told us a single example of where getting a warrant would be a problem to national security. In fact, we've got a provision in the warrant amendment that says, in exigent circumstances, you can skip that step. You'll hear today that, oh, everything's fine. We don't need the warrant amendment. We've got 53 reforms in this package. Here's the problem with those reforms. We rely on the same people that abused the system to enforce those reforms. And they still don't go to the constitutional level that is required in this country. Who doesn't trust those 53 reforms? Congress doesn't trust those 53 reforms. The authors of this bill, you know how I know? Because they put an exemption, two exemptions for themselves in this bill. That's right. If the FBI is going to use 702 FISA to spy on congressmen, they have to tell Congress. They even have to get permission from the congressman they're spying on if they say it's for the congressman's own good. Why do we have a provision in there that exempts congressmen, but not all of America? Americans deserve the protections that are enshrined in the Constitution. Nothing less should pass this House. This is an enormous database. They're going to tell you, oh, we're just looking at intelligence that was gathered on foreigners. The problem is they're collecting this intelligence in the United States, using service providers in the United States, using internet connections in the United States. They collect a lot of stuff here. Do you think the NSA employee who did a FISA search on a Tinder date was looking for information about Hamas? No, there's all kinds of information in there. And that's why it's being abused. That's why we need the warrant provision. I urge folks to vote for this rule so that you can vote for the warrant provision amendment. And if that amendment doesn't pass, you shouldn't vote to reauthorize FISA. And with that.
So what is he talking about? I'm asking because I have no idea. No. What he's talking about is the warrant exemption or whatever it is because what our government does, and I'm sad to say this, but in the county I live in Florida, I want to tell you that I believe we have probably the best sheriff in the country, okay? You've probably seen him. He's been on Fox News. I live in the middle of Florida, Polk County, Florida. And our sheriff, Grady Judd, you've seen him on the news. He does not agree with what that man just said. Because what our government does, what our police officers do, what my sheriff department does, which means if my sheriff department does it, your sheriff department does it, your local police probably does it, your state police probably does it, our FBI definitely does it, and everyone else more than likely uses this loophole. And that is the Freedom of Information Act. So they want to make believe that this 702 FISA situation is only to gather intelligence on foreign entities. That's not true. What he's talking about, what Massey is talking about, is you, the police, the government, whoever, have to not be able to buy information via the Freedom of Information Act from, say, Facebook or Twitter or whoever else. You need to get a warrant. Well, like our local sheriff here says, that'll, like he said, slow down the process. God forbid you have to do your job 100%. I honestly don't know. And I'm saying this for real. I do not know how long it takes to get a warrant versus how long it takes for you to use the Freedom of Information Act to gather information on an individual. For somehow or another, I can't imagine that either of those processes take that much longer than the other one. I don't know. I've never had to obtain a warrant. I've never had to inquire into the Freedom of Information Act. But I do know that if I, Don Q of the D-Tom Show, want to use the Freedom of Information Act for a specific subject that I want to cover on this show, I can't today say, I want to find out information on, you know, this. That they're going to respond and say, here you go. Guarantee it takes a couple of days. Now, once again, not a police officer, never have been. Now, I would say this, I have watched plenty of Law and Order. They seem to get a warrant relatively quick, if they really want it relatively quick. Now, I know that's television. I'm not saying that it necessarily happens that quickly. But I'm saying that chances are you can get a warrant just as quickly, if not quicker, than you obtaining information via the Freedom of Information Act. The difference is this. To obtain a warrant for whatever purpose, you have to be able to convince a judge that what you're gaining that warrant for is legitimate. You know, you're not guesstimating at a situation of that this person may or may not have done something. You have to be able to prove why you need the warrant to go search the person's house, the person's car, the person's business, whatever the case may be. Now, the way you can obtain that warrant a lot easier, if you don't know, but you suspect, but you don't know, you don't even have probable cause. You just think, or you got word from an informant that this person may or may not have done something. So you buy the Freedom of Information Act, you buy their information or their whatever you're looking for, then that person has said on Facebook or some other entity that they did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then you could take that to the judge with your warrant, and then everything's covered. But you really obtain that information illegally. So it's almost like a workaround for police departments and the FBI and whoever else to do their actual job, because it makes it easier. Now, the reason I'm so hell-bent on this whole situation is 3.4 million warrantless searches of Americans' private communications. Okay, this is what this entails, or what has entailed. 278,000 improper searches on American citizens. 19,000 improper searches of donors to congressional candidates. There is no shortage of spying authority abused by weaponizing the FBI. And I wouldn't just put this all on the FBI, because my local sheriff says we do this. We use the Freedom of Information Act to gain information on an individual that we think may or may not be doing something to be able to obtain a warrant for their arrest down the road. It's not, I'm not saying the FBI is perfect. I'm not saying they're angels. What I'm trying to tell you is that they ain't the only ones, motherfuckers. It's very important. Now, you might be asking, Don, why are you getting so fucking bent out of shape over this? Why? Well, it's because I want to make sure I don't skip something here. Hold on. Give me a second. Hold on. Okay, I'm still good. It's because once they start chipping away at the Fourth Amendment, which this is what falls under, the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure essentially is what it is. So in other words, you as an American citizen, if the authorities, whoever that is, police, sheriff, you know, whoever it is, comes to your house and they knock on the door, hi, Mr. Johnson, we're the local police department, and we have reason to believe that you did whatever, and you have such and such in your house. Now, they can have probable cause, but for example, if the cops came to my house right now, knocked on my door, and I'm here, I'm at the house by myself, wife's at work, I'm just chilling, doing a show, and they said, we have reason to believe that you have, 5,000 pounds of cocaine in your house. Do you mind if we come in and look? Now, I have the right to say, go fuck yourself, right? If they don't have a warrant, I can do that. I can tell them, go fuck yourself, because you might have reason to believe, but you don't have, if you had a suspicion beyond a reasonable doubt, you would have a warrant. Okay. Now, a way for them to obtain that warrant is if they use the Freedom of Information Act, and I may have talked to somebody somewhere via Facebook Messenger or text messages or whatever, that they would obtain that to be able to obtain a warrant to be able to come knock on my door. Now, I could say, I don't have any fucking cocaine. Do you mind if we look around? Yeah, fucking knock yourself out. Well, if for some reason they had reason to want to lock me up for whatever reason, for doing this show, but they're using that as an excuse, well, then who says they don't plant some cocaine, because, whatever. And I'm not saying that your local police department or Milo, I'd hope my local police department wouldn't do something like that. I'm saying that it's not out of the realm of possibility. And what concerns me is when we talk about the illegal search and seizure situation in this 702, which is a part of that amendment, okay? And I've said, since I've been doing this show, that I've said in the past that they want to take our guns away. And I stand by that. But the question has always been, how would they accomplish this feat? And I'm going to venture off of the Fourth Amendment in this 702 thing But I'm gonna Jen Psaki it, and I'm gonna circle back around. So just hang tight, because I got a dissertation here that I wrote, and I was typing very fast, and I hope that I didn't fuck up, and I'm gonna read it as I wrote it, because I wrote it as I read it, as I said it in my head. But I was also watching TV, so forgive me if I fuck up. But the question has always been, how would they accomplish this feat? Well, it starts right here. So the Biden administration wants to close the, and if you're watching me on Rumble on Don't Tread on America TV, I'm going to use the quotation marks a lot during this. So the Biden administration wants to close the quote unquote gun show loophole. Now, there are many people out there that want to say there's no such thing. And the reason I say this is because I was on Twitter, and you should see the people that say, you guys are fucking idiots. There's no such thing as a gun show loophole. You guys are stupid. Hold on. So as a staunch proponent of the Second Amendment, I'm going to correct everyone on this topic. Now, people who don't actually know any better will tell you, quote, if you go to a gun show to buy a gun, you have to do a background check. And that is somewhat true, but also not. Now, I don't know how it is in every state, but I'm going to base what I'm going to tell you off of what happens in the state of Florida. Georgia, California, Tennessee, Maine, Massachusetts, you guys all might be different. I don't know. I didn't feel like looking up everyone's laws. I'm basing what I'm telling you off of what I know for a fact happens in the state of Florida. It's not question. It's not innuendo. I go to gun shows. I see it all the time. It happens in this state, period. Okay. Now, well, you might ask, how is that, Don? Well, let me tell you. That's how I wrote it, guys. Okay, so if you go to a gun show, okay, there will be two groups of people selling guns. There are the gun dealers that own gun stores, and by law, they are only allowed to sell guns with an ATF background check, unless you, the buyer, possess a CCW. What is a CCW? Well, that's a concealed carry weapons permit. Okay, so if you have your concealed carry permit, you can go to a gun store and say, I want to buy this handgun or this rifle or this assault weapon. You fill out a form saying you're buying this Smith & Wesson serial number 1234. Here's my CCW. Bada boom, bada bing, you walk out with the gun. If you don't have that, you, in the state of Florida, you have a three-day wait. But there is also what we call private sellers. So that would be someone like you or me that can take your own guns to a gun show and sell them to whoever you want to for whatever price that person is willing to pay. Now, there's the part of the quote-unquote gun show loophole that they want to close. Let me get to a point here, because I'm going to riff here. So now, the interesting thing about this is, and I've said this in my own situations going to gun stores, who in the hell, like, I've gone to gun shows plenty of times, who in the hell is going to pay the price that a person wants to sell their gun? So you might go to a gun show, okay, and here's Bob Johnson with a nice AR-15, and he's selling it for $1,700, okay? In the meantime, there's a dealer right over there selling the same gun, but cheaper, and it's new, it's not used. Why would you do that? Why would you, the consumer, I'm going to a gun show, and I'm kind of looking to get an AR-15. Okay, I got I got Bob's gun shop over here. He's got I have a Colt M4 5.56 223. It shoots both. It's a nice gun. I paid quite a bit for it. And on top of the work I've done to it. Now, if I go to the gun shop, Bob's gun shop, and say, how much for that Colt? And he tells me it's $800. I actually paid more because whatever. But $800, brand new. Cool. I'm going to walk around a little bit more. I'm going to think about it. Okay. I walk around. I go to the section where the private dealers are. And here's Joe Schmo with a similar gun. It looks nice. It's used. and he's charging me $1,300. Same gun, used. Why would I pay $500 more for a used gun when I can pay $800 over here for a brand new gun? The difference is this, is to avoid the background check. I can spend $500 more and I can walk out with that gun right now. Or if I don't have my CCW, I can buy it from the gun shop brand new, fill out the paperwork, and then wait 3 days for the gun shop to call me and say, hey, yeah, everything's good to go. Come get your gun. Actually, they don't even do that. You just show up 3 days after, you know, they'll tell you, okay, it's come pick it up Tuesday. You go Tuesday. You know, generally, if you don't pass a background check, they'll call you. I've never had that problem, but you know what I'm saying. But I also have to say this. I have not heard of one situation of a school shooting or a mass shooting where the perpetrator bought the guns at a gun show. Generally, those guns are purchased legally, oddly enough, either by the perpetrator themselves or a family member. I would say, generally speaking, that they, the criminals, would say that, you know, that I'm sorry, that they, the government, Biden, whoever, would say that the criminals shooting up our street are getting the guns like this. And I say, no, they're buying them off the street from someone who probably obtained the gun illegally, whether they stole them from someone's house or whatever. They broke it to a gun shop, whatever. Now, you know, I've heard on other podcasts, and this is what kind of pisses me off, because I like some of these other podcasts, and the bad thing about podcasts is you can't call in and say, dude, you're fucking wrong. You know, now I could email them, or I could comment on their shit. And if you think I'm wrong, please reach out to me. I don't, you know, Facebook, Instagram, True Social, TikTok, Don't Tread on America. You can go to the website, donttreadonamerica.com. You can email me, donq@donttreadonamerica.com. You can find me on the Twitter X machine at dtom_1775. And we can argue this fact, but I'm telling you right now that I've heard on other podcasts where they want to fearmonger, the other podcasts want to fearmonger this point. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm all about this. We need to do this because we need to stop school shootings. We need to stop mass shootings. I don't think that's the problem. I don't think people buying guns at a gun show for $500 over market value is your problem. If you have a gun, okay, and you want to give the gun to your son or your grandson, your daughter, whatever, let's say, you know, that's perfectly legal. You do not need a background check. Now, I've heard other podcasts say, if I want to give my gun to my son, I got to do a background check. That's not true. The law, as they're talking about passing, I don't think it's passed, but what they're wanting to do is, if you're selling a gun for a profit, which means if I bought my AR-15 for $800 and I'm taking it to the gun show and I'm selling it for $1,000, $2,000, $10,000, whatever it is, I'm selling the gun for a profit. Therefore, the person I'm selling the gun to needs to have a background check. Now, I do agree with the fact that the reason they want to do this is to obtain a list, because contrary to popular opinion, once you fill out that paperwork and they say that, you know, Don Q is buying this Smith & Wesson serial number 1234 on, you know, April 13, 2024, well, there's your list. They have to keep that paperwork. It's not like, once you pass the background check, they crumble the paperwork up and throw it. It doesn't work like that. So they've already got a list. If you're buying your guns at a gun shop, they've got a list. So whatever. So you do not have to, if you gift someone a gun, you do not have to do this. Now, I would say for your benefit that if you do gift a gun to your son or your nephew or your grandson or your daughter or whoever, that I gave my son, I'm telling you for a fact, I gave my son a Smith & Wesson 9mm for Christmas a couple years ago. Okay? As long as I made sure that I know that he has the gun, and I've always told him, look, if you ever get into a position where you don't think that, if you need money, for example, if you need money and you think you want to go pawn this for a couple $100, don't. Give me the gun. I'll give you the money that you need. And then if you want the gun, you could pay for it. Whatever. But you don't need a background check if you gift a gun. Why? because you're not selling it for a profit, and that's what the new bill says. Now, I guess constitutionally speaking, all of it's bullshit. Most would say the reason they want to track the gun, you know, want to do this is to track the guns. And I would say that is most likely the case. It's a workaround to a gun list, like I just said. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So this bill passes with the idea that they've said this about any type of mass shooting. So anytime we've had a mass shooting recently, especially with this administration, where is my cursor? Why isn't this moving? They've said, because I'm at the bottom. That's why. So they said this. Well, we need to close these gun show loopholes because people are obtaining these guns. And they're not. If you recall the last couple of shootings, whether they be school shootings or shootings at grocery stores or whatever, these people have bought these guns. They passed the background checks, you know, and whatever, whatever. Okay. The problem isn't the gun. The problem is the person. Okay. Period. But this is what's going to happen. They passed this bill with the idea that this is going to help stop mass shootings, right? So that we need to close the loophole to stop these shootings. Well, when they don't stop, because like I said, most of those individuals aren't buying guns in that manner, then... I see, this is where I was typing too fast. I fucked up. Then they'll I think that's supposed to be move. Then they'll move to the dreaded assault weapon ban. Then when that doesn't work, it'll be an all-out ban of firearms. And that's why this Fourth Amendment argument is so important. It's simple, folks. As these people chip away at one of our basic rights, the rest will start to fall. And I give a rat's ass what party affiliation you have. This affects every single one of us as Americans. If you think that I'm joking, look at Germany back in the early 1900s. Look at Russia. And more recently, look at Australia, where they made it real easy for that government to lock up its citizens for having a cold. You know, think about it, during COVID. So back in, I think it was 96 or whatever, they did the all-out weapon ban. It made it real easy come 2020 to lock people up because there was no repercussions of that individual doing anything. And then there's China. So this happened the other day. This is David Hogg, you remember him, Parkland shooting survivor. Like, he was the only one, but, you know, He's made the most of his 15 minutes. This is him getting wrecked by a Chinese nationalist who defected to America. And this is what she had to say.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, you know, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold the communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns.
There you go. And she's right. She's right. I mean, that's the crazy thing, is all of these things. You have 10 amendments. You have the basic Bill of Rights, right? And I mean, there's plenty of other amendments, but I'm not even worried about the 10 or the 20 or however many there are. There's three amendments that they care about. Once they can chip away at those, they can keep chipping away. And then, like she said, tyrannical government. Now, how would getting rid or chipping away at the Fourth Amendment have anything to do with guns? Okay. Well, like I said, they closed this quote-unquote loophole. So that means any gun purchase that you make has to have a background check. Whether you're buying a gun from me, Joe Schmo on the street, or you're buying it from the gun shop, Bob's Gun Shop, they'll have their list. Okay. So What happens then? Okay, they've already chipped away at the Fourth Amendment. They've chipped away at the gun laws. Now, as things still happen, because we know they will, they ban this gun, they ban that gun, they ban all guns. Or even as they just ban guns, now they suspect, Mr. Johnson, we believe that you have an AR-15 in your home. You know, we need to come in and confiscate that. I don't have any AR-15. Well, we're going to come in and check. You can't come in without a warrant. Actually, we can, because we got rid of that law. You understand how it starts? Guys, when I'm telling you these things are serious, and if the news media, which we know is just the voice of the government, is trying to tell you that it doesn't really sound like a bad idea. It's just closing the gun show. You really shouldn't be buying guns like this. You really should go through an authorized dealer. And I'm not saying that that's entirely wrong. Okay? My position of the matter is this. Yes, we have the Second Amendment, and you should be able to buy a gun no matter what. The problem is this. There is too many fuckers in this country that can't be trusted. So, yes, I have no problem doing background checks. If you have a CCW and you go through the rigmarole of getting that, I have no problem with that either. Because even if I have a CCW and I go to the gun store, I don't have to do a background check because I've already done one. Okay? So, I guess the point being is this. Background checks aren't necessarily a bad thing. Background check or no background check, by law, to sell a gun from a gun, you know, if you're a gun dealer at a gun shop, whether it's a Walmart or Bob's Gun Shop, that they have to, let me see, how can I explain this? Okay, you as the gun dealer, you buy guns from a manufacturer, okay, whether it's Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Colt, Browning, whoever, right? Glock. You get the guns from, whether you get it from the manufacturer or a wholesaler, whatever the case may be, and they say, okay, we sold Bob's Gun Shop these 20 guns. Here's the serial numbers, because that person, that company, whatever, whether it's the manufacturer or the supplier or whatever, has to account for the guns that they had. It's a giant list. It's a list that gets made. Once that gun gets dropped in my pen, once that gun gets produced and a serial number gets stamped on it, okay, that gun now has been registered. That serial number isn't someone just rolling a dice and saying, we're going to call, oh, it's number 6. It doesn't work like that. That's a registered serial number with the government. That's registered, okay? It's not a made-up number. That number gets registered with the ATF. Now, that number on that gun has to follow a chain of custody. So from the manufacturer to the supplier to the buyer of the buyer, okay? So Ruger makes the gun, they sell it to, you know, PJ's Wholesale, and then PJ's Wholesale sells it to Bob's Gun Shop, and then Bob's Gun Shop sells it to you. That serial number follows that chain of custody, okay? So the ATF knows that Ruger made that gun, it's a Ruger, you know, 1022, whatever, and they sold it to PJ's Wholesale, and then so on and so on and so on. So the list... The list remain. The list are what they are. If you, as a buyer, buy a gun, and you go to the gun shop and buy a gun, you fill out the paperwork. They say, okay, Mr. Smith, you bought this gun. Serial number 1234. The gun is in your possession. Have a great day. So you have the gun, take it home, whatever. 5 years later, you sell it. Okay, you go to a gun shop, or I'm sorry, gun show in your area, and you're like, you know what, I really don't want this gun anymore. I paid $400 for it. I'm going to see what I can get for it at a gun show. So you're carrying the gun around. You're like, I got a, you know, a Glock 17, you know, used with two extra mags for sale. I'm selling it for $600. Chances are you're going to have somebody, oh, $600, can I look at it? Yeah, okay, I'll give you $600 for it, and you sell it. Now, it is of my advice to you, until this law passes, if you were to do that, not that it necessarily means nothing, because the person can have fake ID, whatever, but get the person's license, write down their name, their license number. If the person isn't willing to do that, then maybe tell them no, you're not selling them the gun because you have the right to not do that. And then why am I saying this? Well, Don, you're just creating a list yourself. I'm creating a list to cover your ass is what I'm creating because this is what's going to happen. Let's say you don't do that. You sell the gun to whoever, you know, and Mike Smith, he goes and kills his wife. Because he didn't want to wait the 3 days. I want to kill that bitch today. Okay? He goes home. He kills her. Or let me not even say he killed his wife. Let me say he robbed a convenience store and killed the clerk and dropped the gun there. Now, we don't know who Mike Smith is. We didn't see him on video because he had a mask on and he had a, you know, sunglasses. And we didn't see what car he got into. We just saw an individual of same stature as you, and he shot the clerk and left the gun there. The cops come to the scene, and there's Mr. Haji there. He's been shot and killed. The till's empty. Oh, we have the murder weapon right here. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's a Glock 17, serial number 1234. Okay. Okay, that gun is registered to, Bob Johnson over here. Mr. Johnson. Police, we'd like to talk to you for a minute. What seems to be the problem, officer? Well, where were you last night at 9 o'clock? I was here. Do you have an alibi? No, my wife wasn't here. I was by myself. Okay, we're going to need to bring you down to the station and ask you a few questions in the murder of Mr. Haji McGillicuddy down at the 7-Eleven. Well, I didn't do anything. Right, Mr. Johnson. You please come with us. We really don't want to have to arrest you, but, you know. Now, why would they do that? Well, because I sold that gun. I sold it, I sold it last week at the gun show to Mike Smith. Well, did you get any ID or any? No, he didn't want to give me any ID. Right, Mr. Johnson. Sure. Do you understand where I'm going with this? I'm not telling you what. You do whatever the fuck you want with your guns. It's of your best interest to make sure you track that your damn self. Because if you can't prove what you've done with that gun, you're fucked. Plain and simple. So, my suggestion to you is if you're not going to give it to family members and you want to get rid of the gun, take it to a gun shop and sell it to them. Because they'll give you a fair price if it's in good shape and it's covered. That's just my 2 cents to you. Now, I don't want to be flippant about everything I just talked about because everything has to do with everything. Now, once again, in the preparedness portion of the show, we don't know what's happening. We know shit's about to hit the fan in the Middle East. We know it's going to be big. We know that the FBI is warning us that something is about to happen in this country. When I hear these people say something like this, I don't think we're looking at a 9-11. Now, they'll tell you a 9-11 type attack. I don't think we're looking at a 9-11 type attack in the sense of it being airplanes and World Trade Centers and that type of situation. I think these individuals have stationed themselves throughout this country in different locations where it's not going to be a plane in a building, but it could be something else. It could just be a mass shooting. You know, because we see those quite a bit. I guess my best advice to you is if you don't live in a big city, maybe stay out of the big cities. If you live in the big cities, be vigilant. You know, don't be so vigilant that you're racist towards someone that's Oriental or brown, but be vigilant nonetheless. In the meantime, if this is something that could lead us to not just necessarily a terrorist attack, but a all-out battle or a war, I don't know. I know we find it inconceivable that anything could possibly happen to us from a war standpoint in this country. We just can't fathom it because foreign armies, there's never been a foreign army to lay foot on this ground since 1812. So why would we think 212 years later that would happen? There's been wars since then, and it's not happened. But who's to say that it can't eventually happen? I think this country, not so much me or you, but our leaders, quote unquote, have pissed off enough countries in this world that it could be us, Israel, and say Great Britain, maybe France, versus everyone else. And I'm here to tell you that I don't feel confident in that. I know we have a strong military, not doubting our military's capability, but you can only do so much with what you have when you're going against China, Russia, Iran, and God only knows who else. So that's where you and me, the American citizen, the American patriot, needs to be able to be ready. Now, I'm going to say it again, say it 100 times. Do what you can do to get ready, prepared. Whether it be ammo, I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you probably own a gun or five. But ammo for those guns. I don't care. You could have 100 guns. If you only have 100 bullets, those guns ain't doing you no damn good. I'd rather you have two guns and 20,000 bullets. You understand what I'm saying? Rations, foods, whatever you can do. Because, once again, I'm not trying to make you all scared of life. But we the American people, are under attack from all sorts of fronts. And unfortunately, we don't know who to trust anymore. We don't. And that's the scary part. But with that being said, guys, I'm going to go ahead and close it out because I've been rambling a little bit too long. And I need to go to bed because I got to get up and go to the gym. I get up at 4 and it's almost 10. So with that being said, guys, please make sure, like I said, you're following the show. You come on, motherfucker, play. God damn it. You follow the show. Make sure you share this with your friends. And then, guys, follow us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker at Don't Tread on America. And on the Twitter X machine at DTOM_1775. And don't forget about the website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And, yeah, sponsors, guys. Don't forget about the DTOM store and Reaper Apparel Company. Check them out, ReaperApparelCo.com. Links are at the bottom of the podcast after once you're listening to this on. Guys, please, you guys have a great day. It's late. It's Saturday night. You're probably not going to listen to this till Sunday unless you're working tonight. But, guys, just keep your ear to the ground and pay attention. Other than that, you have a fantastic rest of your day, and I will talk to you again on Tuesday. See you later.